Well, over this last few weeks, we've been stuck or we've decided to camp out in the series of We Are the Church. And today we're going to continue on with that. I feel a word from God, but I really feel like it ties in with all that he's been speaking. You're just like a fresh season. And we had an incredible time over this last week or so, just encountering the presence of God fresh again, just reminding us of how important it is to seek the face of God. Forget everything else. I want your face, God. I can get your hands, but I really want your face. And I want to encourage you with that. But today I want to continue on with We Are the Church, and specifically around the idea of fresh bread or daily bread or seeking God every single day. Nikki spoke a word last week. She just dropped it in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. But she said, don't seek him just first, but seek him first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, in everything you go to do, whether it's bringing up your kids, whether it's going to work every day, whether it's just trying to be a good husband, whether it's just trying to be a great friend, whether you're trying to do this, trying to do that, make God the center of everything. Make him first in everything you go to do, and it will make an incredible difference. Anyway, let's pray as we get into the word today. Holy Spirit, I ask you to move mightily in all of our hearts. Lord, I thank you that you are doing something fresh and new in all of us, and we ask you for more, Jesus. Lord, thank you for all that you're doing. We say bless, bless, bless in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So we're going to continue on this series of We Are the Church, but today, maybe you're watching it on Sunday. Well, if you are, then today is Palm Sunday, and it's this incredible day. Over 2,000 years ago, it should have been the moment that changed everything for Israel, in the sense. And it did, but it didn't. You know, you ever had a day like that where it's just a key moment, it's an incredible moment, and you realize it's an incredible moment, but you're not really quite sure, well, this is exactly how the children of Israel were, or the Jewish people were at that point in time. And we're going to read how it says in Matthew chapter 21, verse 8, a very large crowd, a special note, spread their cloaks on the road while others cut branches from the trees and spread them out on the road. It's like they knew a king was coming. What was going to confuse them was how the king came. He didn't come on a big stallion. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed him said, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heavens. Wow. The people were simply going, Hosanna. It just means you're the Messiah. The Messiah has come. Jesus, we love you. The Messiah is here. And if you looked at the word Hosanna, it would say, please save us. This is what they recognize. The Messiah is here. Please save us. We've been waiting to be saved for a long time. And we're going to track back a tiny bit in Israel's history over the next few minutes together. And we're going to remind ourselves of maybe a bit of a checkered past. Maybe it's the same as yours. Maybe a bit of an up and down past. Maybe, again, you can relate to this. I know I definitely can't. But yet the one thing that was constant all along the way is God's faithfulness, God's closeness, and God's hand. And his hand was always upon them, whether they received him or rejected him. And I say it's the same for us. Whether you receive him or reject him, God's hand is for you. God's heart is for you. God's deep desire is that you would come to know him. But this day, they cried, Hosanna, and they're saying, please save us. It's a destiny moment. And I wonder for you at this time in your life, whatever age you are you living in a destiny moment? You know, some of those moments are incredible. You're like, wow, this is a moment where I'll never forget it. You know, whether it's like that job you waited for, that degree that you thought you would never get, that relationship that you longed and prayed for, or the baby you thought would never come. Sometimes we get these destiny moments. And this day in Jerusalem, they were having a destiny moment. Here comes our king. Wow. Please save us. And of course, this was a king like no other. This was Jesus. And later on, they're going to be confused because they're going to be like, who is he? Because he didn't come the way expected. He didn't look quite right. He didn't dress quite right. And he didn't ride in on the quite white horse that they anticipated. It was more like a donkey or a colt. But this was a key moment. It was thousands of years of pain. You know, what I think about is Narnia. I watch it with the kids so many times. I love it. And then now they love it. And you know that moment where the battle is being lost? They've been praying. They've been hoping. They've been thinking, when is Aslan going to come? And then suddenly he comes through and he rescues everybody and he sends the enemy fleeing. This is one of these moments. It's one of these incredible, incredible moments. And yet underneath the surface was this confusion, like, what does this really, really mean? No one was quite sure. But what was going to happen is Jesus at the end of this week was going to change everything. It just wasn't going to look like the way that they thought. Our Messiah is here. The problem is he's not bringing victory in the form of killing all his enemies. He's bringing victory in the form of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. Amen. You see, the enemy loves to pick out and kill and compare and disqualify. But the Lord says, I love to unite. I love to redeem. I love to transform. And this was the problem with Jesus. And this is why people got their backs up. Even the religious people, even the Jewish people, they're like, we've been persecuted for so long. Is it not our time to persecute? Is it not our time to rise up against everybody else? Is it not our time? But the problem is, if it's your time, then it's somebody else's not time. You know, you're in competition. And if you're the winner, then somebody's the loser. And the Lord says, I've come to redeem my people. I've come to win them back. And I've come to turn their faces to mine. And I've come to save them from their sins. In fact, I've come for the whole world. And this is the good news about Jesus. He's not on a particular side. He's come for the whole world. He loves each and every one of us. You see, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. He was not there to destroy. He was there to love and to die and to resurrect at the end of this week. It was going to be the most incredible week they've ever seen or heard. At this point, they had no real idea. And today I want to say to you, what are we doing with the news of Jesus at Easter? It's so easy to get familiar. It's so easy to get used to it. It's so easy to go, well, I kind of know this story. I'm going to move on from it. But this is an incredible story. But today I want us to go back. I want us to go back maybe 1,200 years prior to Jesus at this point. And where you would be is you would be in the desert. The children of Israel have just come out of captivity. They've just come out of Egypt. And now they find themselves in the wilderness. Theologians, professionals, historians say it should have been a short day's walk or a short few days' walk, maybe 10, 12 days' walk from the point when they entered the wilderness to the point where they should have got out of it to get to the promised land. But like many of us, we tend to go around in circles. We tend to forget. We tend to lose focus. We tend to complain and bicker and find ourselves dwelling in places that we shouldn't for far too long. And this is exactly what happens to the Israelites. They find themselves in 2 weeks of freedom, and then they start to complain. And I started thinking to myself, you ever find yourself in 2 weeks of freedom, and then you begin to complain? Oh, just, you know, it's been a good holiday, but it'd be good to be back home. You know, it's just like, it starts off innocent, and then you're like, oh, I'm just sick of the sun. It's just too hot. But before that, you complain maybe for a year or more, like it's so cold, I just want some sun. Or maybe you get that job you've been praying about, and it's like, oh, it's not all it's cracked up to be. You know, aren't we weird and complex and strange and maybe even a bit odd sometimes? We pray and we pray and we pray, and we dream for these moments, and we anticipate these moments, and then when the moments get there, we're all confused. We're not sure what to do. It's the Messiah riding in on a colt. Why is he not coming in a stallion? We've been set free from captivity in Egypt, and now we think we're going to die 2 weeks later because as if God would leave us hanging, as if God wouldn't be there to help us. But we are strange sometimes. And whether it be 3,000 years ago with the children of Israel in the wilderness trying to get to the promised land, or right here today in 2023, we can be exactly the same. It's like, 1 minute, Lord, I really, really want this thing. And then we get blessed with it. And then we find fault with it within a week or two, or maybe even sooner. But here's what it says in Exodus 16, verse 9. We're going to read it together. Then Moses told Aaron, say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. Come on, the Lord hears our grumbling. While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked towards the desert. And there was the glory of the Lord appearing in a cloud. Wow. So here's the children of Israel. The Lord's here. They're grumbling, complaining. They're hungry. They're getting fed up. They're thinking, oh, we're going to die in the desert. And the Lord says, come on. Have you lost faith in me this quickly? Trust me. Says the Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them at twilight you will eat meat. And in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. Wow. What's going to happen next is just unbelievable. It's stunning. It's a daily miracle every single day in the wilderness, in the desert. It cannot be Tesco. It cannot be a delivery man. It cannot be anything. All it can be is absolute supernatural, because every single morning, manna would come from heaven. Every single evening, quails would come from heaven, and they would have bread and meat, burgers literally every single day. Steak sandwiches every single day. And they're in the desert. They're in the wilderness. Isn't God so generous and so kind that he takes us from freedom, but that's not enough? And when we begin to grumble and complain, he then supplies us with the finest. He supplies us with his best. And then sometimes we find ourselves in a trap going, I don't know, how's God going to get me out of this one? God already knows about this one before you even knew it was a thing. Come on. He already had a plan for your life before you were ever thought of. The minute and the idea of questioning God's goodness or even contemplating that he wouldn't have a plan in this moment is complete lunacy. It's complete madness. It just doesn't float any boat. It doesn't make any sense. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, the Lord knows everything that we're going through, and he's patient and he's good, and I'm so glad that he is, because I find myself in this point, and maybe you find yourself in this point, and you've seen the faithfulness of God. You've seen Red Sea parting. You've seen the Lord allow you to escape from captivity for hundreds of years. You've seen your kids go free. You've seen the enemy be destroyed by the goodness of God, and then you still have doubts that he can provide, or you begin to complain that he may not be taking care of your every single whim or need. Come on, he promises that he will be a good father, and there will be nothing short from his goodness towards you. He will always provide. And maybe today the heart of what God wants to get into your heart is, you can trust me for daily bread every day. You can trust me for daily provision every day. You can trust me, if you would seek me, you would find me every single day. Wow. And the Lord wants to confront some of us, and he wants to say, you are living way back when, you're living way back then, and I need you to be focused on today, because I'm calling you forward. And if we are the church, then we need to know what the Lord's doing today, because today is the present. Today is the day that we live in. We're not in the past any longer. We're not in the future. You may dream to the future. You may think of the past, but you can only affect this moment. And if we're going to be an effective church that God's causing us to rise up and be, then we need to understand the present. Amen. And we need to understand daily bread. And we need to understand focusing on him every single day. And we need to understand, how do I seek him every day? Because he has plans and purposes for me. You see, this is an incredible reality. He provides when it's possible and when it's not. It's the desert. You don't get free things in the desert like this. This is not a bountiful land. They're going to that land, but God's already starting to bless them abundantly, even in this season. Imagine every day, bread and meat, every single day for 40 years, relentlessly, without fail, without having to do anything, the goodness of God just gets poured out. These guys must have been the most blessed people on earth. And yet we've got the word of God. We can access the Father every single day. Hebrews tells us that we can come boldly before his throne of grace. We have the Holy Spirit upon us. We can have the Holy Spirit bursting from us if we want. We are living in the best days yet, because the Lord is upon us. The Spirit of the living God is upon me. The Spirit of the living God is upon you. But if I get distracted and I start living on old bread, if I start living in old experiences, then I'll forget the gift of today. And I won't continue to make what God's called me to make, his destiny and his plans come to fruition. So I want us to think about the one clause. There was something very interesting about this promise from heaven. God said, well, look, I've heard your grumbling. I'm going to give you what you need every single day. But I've got one thing I need you to remember. Here's how it goes. Verse 19. Then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until morning. Don't keep the bread and milk, the bread and the meat till morning. It's for today. I need you to trust me on this. I need you to be obedient on this. This is really the biggest lesson that God's trying to teach his people, and he's still trying to teach us today. And I'm like, oh Lord, why do we not get this stuff? Verse 20, however, some of them paid no attention. This sounds like 2023. Doesn't it? It's like, God's over here. If you just come over there, he's going to transform your life forevermore. But the people paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. If you don't know what maggots are, get on YouTube, but be ready to have your stomach turned. So Moses was angry with them. Church, we have to learn something today, because if we don't learn it today, we're going to continue to make the mistake tomorrow. You can trust God every day. You can trust him every day. You see, sometimes what we do is we build up our prayer life when we're in a desperate situation, like I'm going to fast and pray, I'm going to seek the Lord, and all of that is wonderful and great, but it almost becomes, have you ever found it like exhausting? Like you're working something up, and the moment that is done, and the moment that the miracle has taken place, you're like relieved. And I felt like that. I remember, just to put you in a picture, when we were getting this building, the one we're in right now, we had to raise all the money in 8 weeks. That one sort of felt easy. It felt like the grace of God. But when we bought next door, which is Project Possible, it's all Project Possible, but it's the big bit. It's 20,000 square foot piece of land in the middle of the town. We're still trying to get our plan of permission, but we believe, come on this year, come on, Lord. It was more of a struggle. Now, was it a struggle for God? No, but it was a struggle for me. And I remember when everybody else, after 3-4 months of sweating to get the money, when everybody else was celebrating, my overriding emotion was relief. Now, what does that reveal in my heart? That in some way, shape, or form, I was trying to make it happen. And it was madness because I could not make 175,000 happen. God did that. But watch how sometimes we get ourselves caught up in almost like religious acts. Like if I pray hard enough, God's going to move. Like if I prove to God well enough that I'm serious, he's going to do something. Now, there's a fine line. I get it. Because the Lord wants to see your heart. He wants to understand, are you for me or against me? He wants to know, are you ready? Are you going to do this thing? But there is a fine line from me making it happen and me just showing my heart to him. And me just showing him my whole heart. Come on, he's not interested in the 10 things I can do every day. He's interested in my obedience. Maybe obedience. We keep saying it week after week. Maybe that's the greatest thing that any of us can ever do. Obedience. And so if you're finding yourself working up, and then the idea of seeking God every day just sounds exhausting, what if we're working it up too much in our own self and we don't understand the grace of God and simple obedience, which is incredibly radical? And God was trying to teach his people, guys, I need you to learn this thing. You've had hundreds of years in captivity. You're walking around in circles. In fact, God knew it was going to take 40 years. But when we get to the promised land, could we get there and you finally get this thing that I am the God who loves you and will provide for you? And if you would trust me in all your ways, Proverbs 5, come on. In all your ways, acknowledge me. Chapter 3, verses, is it 5 and 6? Then I will lead you. I will provide for you. I will take control of your life. I will take care of everything. And so, Lord, I pray today that you would teach us how to rest more on you than on ourselves. I need simple obedience. Your obedience to God, let's just say it like this, is directly connected to God's provision and blessing in your life. Trust me, follow me, I will provide for you. Trust me, follow me, I will provide for you. Now, maybe you're a provider in your home. It's through God's goodness that you're a provider. Thank goodness you don't have to do it in your own strength. Thank goodness you're not trying to make it all happen for yourself. But here's what I believe God wants us to learn today. And maybe we'll remember nothing else, but this is important. God's voice first. You see, when it came to the children of Israel at this moment, they needed to know God's voice first. They needed to trust God's voice above their past traditions, above common sense, above what they've done before, what they've heard before, even if it was good science, even if it was good plans, even if it was good traditions. Because in this context, guess what? Saving is not a good idea. Because as they saved the bread and the meat for the next day, it was full of maggots. In this case, actually, to throw away food was the best plan, because food prevention wasn't the best plan. It was to trust God that he would provide for the next day. Not incredible. And maybe the reason for food prevention in those days was because they ultimately weren't sure if they could trust God, so they took more than enough in the fear that it might run out. Isn't that such an us thing to do? You know, it's like we could work out what we really need. They could have worked out what they really needed. They've been doing it day after day after day, but they were still trying to take more for the fear of they wouldn't have enough, or they might do without the next day, or they mightn't be what they need the next day. Because maybe he would stop. Because maybe it would run out. Maybe we would do something. Come on, we are not a people that live in fear. We are a people that live under grace. And if he can supply my air every day, and if he can keep this planet spinning every day at just the right temperature, at just the right angle, at just the right whatever it needs to be, then can't he keep me alive every day? And doesn't he? And doesn't he provide for me and my health and my strength? And isn't it incredible that I said one confession of faith to him and he's redeemed my soul forever? Come on, if you can trust God in some things, you can trust him in everything. But a lot of it's got to do with, are you willing to lay your life down? Come on, daily bread is the key. See, the question is maybe this, what if it messes with your plans? Because tomorrow you're planning a few other things that maybe don't include God. Come on, we've all been there. What will you do? What will he do through you? What if you don't have the time? What if it's just not appropriate? What if you don't want to go there? What if you don't want to do this thing? Will you stay the same is really the question. Will you stay the same? Same old ways, same old habits, same old lifestyle. Or will you let God change you? Come on, daily bread's got a way of sustaining you for that day only. Daily bread's got a way of just affecting your body that day only. Yesterday's bread's no good for today. This is the core of the message which God wants to get into our hearts. Yesterday's triumphs, yesterday's successes, yesterday's bread is no good for today. It's absolutely no good for today. You see, God's trying to teach his people that I'm not looking you to become independent. I'm looking you to rely on me every day. I'm looking you to seek me every day. You see, I'm not a bad father. I'm a good father. You've tried it your way. How did that go? It was exhausting. It was painful. It was agony. It was slavery. Step into full freedom. Trust me with your life. Give me everything and I will provide for you. And then we shoot back 1,300 years later. And now suddenly we've got not just bread or manna from heaven, which was extraordinary for 40 years. We've got the bread of life for 33 years, and he roamed and walked the earth. And of course, we're about to step into Holy Week. If you're watching this on Palm Sunday, it's the first day. If you're watching it later on in the week, well, then you're already in Holy Week. But the bread of life. In fact, the word says that Jesus was the bread, that he's the bread of life. He confessed it himself from his own mouth. And he said to the people that day, as they were listening, he says, you don't understand me just yet, but you're going to have to eat of this bread and drink of this cup. And it's really only me that can do that. But if you will trust me, it'll be like the same. And church, God's challenging our hearts today to say, what way are you going to follow me? Are you going to follow me from a distance and focus on what I have done? Or are you going to follow me up close and focus and receive what I'm doing today? Because there is a big difference. There is a big difference. Will it take more risk? Will it take more faith in a sense? Of course, we'll have to step away from our creature comforts. We'll have to step away from our self-reliance. We'll have to give him more control. And for you, control could be the highest value or the highest problem that you have. But as we would trust him, he will surely provide for us. See, manna kept the people alive for 40 years, but Jesus was here 1,300 years ago, the same today, 2,000 years ago from that. And he's here to keep us alive forevermore in eternity in heaven. Amen. And he's here to transform our lives. He's here to turn our lives upside down. He's here to bring blessing and to use us as his instrument in ways that you couldn't possibly imagine or think. In fact, he says this in the middle of the Lord's Prayer when he gives it to the disciples and they say, Lord, teach us how to pray. Right, sandwiched in the middle in verse 11, it says, give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. This is the model prayer. Our Father who art in heaven. But verse 11, give us today our daily bread. Yesterday's bread, no good. Day before's no good. This is not like our bread that we buy in the shop that maybe has a shelf life of 5 days. The Lord says, I don't do bread like that. I do relationship every day. I do encounters every day. I do you hear my voice every single day. This is the way I designed it. This is the way you've been made. If you try to do it any way, other way, it just doesn't work. Just does not work. We need Jesus every day. His life, his love, his grace, my obedience. Verse 20, remember of Exodus 16, however, some of them paid no attention to Moses. However, some of us pay no attention to the word of God. However, some of us pay no attention to what Jesus said. And we keep part of it until the next day. But it was full of maggots and began to smell. See, I want today's bread. I want today's bread. I want today's bread. See, as Jesus entered Jerusalem that day over 2,000 years ago, the children of Israel, they knew the stories. They heard the stories. They were praying for the Messiah to come. And yet when he came, they could not see him. And maybe the reason is because they were still living from the past. bread and the past experiences and the past stories. And they were great stories and they were wonderful in their time, but they only had effect for that day. And then there was fresh bread for today. And when the bread of life walked into the room, they could not see him. When the bread of life went to the cross, they could not see him. When the bread of life was resurrected 3 days later, they could not see him or receive him. It's heartbreaking. And for us today, what if Jesus walks into the room and we don't recognize him because we're still living off an experience for 10 years ago or something that happened a long time ago? And Jesus said, I need you to know I give fresh bread every day. So I want us to have a think of some questions. Maybe today you're living off past successes or old bread or stale bread. You're just not sure of it. But remember verse 20, Exodus 16 says, it's going to make you sick. Some questions to think about, see if we're truly living for fresh bread. Are all of your most significant God stories in the past, or have they just happened? If they're really, really in the past and years ago, come on, then we're not on fresh bread. We're living off something that happened before, which is just going to fool us for today. Because you know what we're going to say? Well, I don't know if it was as powerful as before. What? Before is gone. Like before is not doing nothing anymore to you. It might be a nice story to remember. It might be a nice thought. It might be important for the present, but the present's important. Remember what David said, I've killed the lion and the bear. That's why I can defeat Goliath. But he wasn't living in the past. He was living in the moment. But he used the past to spur him forward in this moment. So of course you can use the past for that. You can have good memories. You can remember well. You can use it as a reminder. You can use it as courage for the present. But it is not good food for the present. It will make you sick. And so how's Jesus leading your life today? It's not 20 years ago. It's not even 20 minutes ago. It's right now at this moment. Question number three, how much do you need Jesus? You know, we've all had those moments. Come on, I've been there. Let's be real for a minute. Oh, Lord, I need you. I need you. You know, we're crying out, and I love some of those moments. But they're self-initiated and usually from a good place of it's all right. Or it could even be from a desperate place. But I don't want to live in that moment where I'm hoping and praying for my feelings to kick into gear or for times to get tough so I'll seek God or for times to get amazing so I'll really seek God and pour my life out of. No, I want to know him every single day. And the only way to do it is a bit like the Israelites. Without God, they would have died in the wilderness. It was that black and white. Without God, they literally die in the wilderness. In fact, God has designed their lives so that he was the only one that could sustain them. How does that speak to us today? How does that speak to us today when we have so much power to create? We have so much power to, especially if you live in the West, to make sure you have this thing and that thing and work hard for this lifestyle and work hard for that object and work hard for this possession. How is that affecting our lives? Is it encouraging us forward in the moment to seek daily bread and to go after the things of God? Or is it causing us to get further and further away from needing daily bread? Because I got a moment with God a few years ago, and right now I'm pretty good at sustaining my own bread and supplying my own bread. And I'm like, whoa. And maybe this is the whole heart of daily bread. If you can do it yourself, then you don't need God. And we're back to the problem we've always had. We thought we could do it ourselves. But we couldn't, church. We couldn't. The gospel works today just as well as it did years ago. We still need it today as much as we did years ago. Jesus has been to the cross. He's defeated sin. He's defeated death. But we need to take up our cross every day. Otherwise, we start to believe the lie like, I've got this. I've got this sorted. I've got this nailed. But I need him every single day. I cannot breathe without him. I cannot live without him. He's all that I want. He's all that I need. Lord, help me to design my life so I depend totally on you. This is the heart cry that heaven is yearning for. This is what God's trying to show us, because any other bread is deadly. Every other bread is poisoning you. Any other lifestyle is killing you, because the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But there's only one who comes to give us life and life to the full, and his name is Jesus. And he's not somebody you go and grab one day and you put him on and you go, sorted, I've got Jesus in my backpack. He's not somebody you go and get a tattoo on and go, I've got Jesus on my skin. He's someone that you serve every single day. He's someone that you worship every single day. He's someone that you feast on every single day. Because the stories of the past, even Jesus' stories, are toxic for today. Really, come on. This daily bread, the manna from heaven that they got in the wilderness, if they tried to eat it the next day, was full of maggots.
But God was bringing faithfully manna every day. And then the bread of life came. He came all the way. And I want us to read this story from John 6. It's the feeding of 5,000. He's just fed all the people. And then in the middle of it, in verse 34, or at the end of the chapter, it says this, "Sir," they're speaking to Jesus like, "Sir, always give us this bread." Man, for Jesus, he's probably thinking two things. We're back to Egypt. We're back to the wilderness. We're back to manna having to come from heaven every day. Come on, I am the bread of life and I'm right in front of you. And so in verse 32, Jesus says it. "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it was my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." This is Jesus. He says, "Sir, give us this bread." They didn't quite understand that. Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. But as I told you, you have seen me and still do not believe." Wow. You see, our history can be fantastic, but don't let it steal from you the present that you have to make more history. Come on, that's how you got the history, because of today. Come on, the past can be distracting and it can become deadly and it can become poisonous, like we said. I want to believe in a Jesus who's here today and I need him today. You see, if you look at any of the big moves of God, it's the moment that we start looking backwards and start remembering what God did and we stop focusing on what God wants to do today is the moment we get ourselves in trouble. And then we start building statues and we start to worship round statues and we start to idolize and we start to get stuck. Only God knows some of the things that happens to us. But I tell you what we do is we go from the health that we find to a place where we're not living in health. We're not living in the way that God planned. And we're going to be the church that will have the stories, that will have the graphics on the wall, that will tell our kids of the great things that God has done. But it will not be because we need them. It'll be because they're using us to spur us on for more. It'll be to remind us that we need the daily bread today. Because in the same way as God supplied our needs years ago, or months ago, or weeks ago, we need them today. God, I know you've done wonderful things in the past, but Lord, I want to be mindful that you want to do wonderful things through me today. Why? Because you've got significant plans and you're always doing greater things. Today is greater than yesterday. Tomorrow, if we get there, will be greater than today. And God's always given daily bread because he is the bread of life. And he says, if you'll seek me, you'll find me. If you come after me, if you believe in me, wow, there's no limits to the things we're going to do. And we're going to change this world. And we're going to turn this world upside down for him. And we're going to see multitudes upon multitudes come to faith in Jesus Christ. We have daily bread. And yesterday's bread and past successes will not do today. Amen. And what the Lord is saying to us right at the end, he said this, "But if you, as I told you, you have seen me, but you still do not believe." Today, our challenge is this. Will we believe in Jesus every day? Will we believe in Jesus that I don't have to try to supply my own needs today, that I don't have to get on with it by myself, but instead I can trust him today? And it's not a working up thing. It's not like, oh, I don't know if I can go through all the prayer and all the focus and all the energy of yesterday. Don't. Simply rest, because the bread of life comes. You see, when they were in the wilderness, I don't think it was anything to do with their prayer life. In fact, we know what their prayer life was like. It was grumbling. It wasn't anything to do with their excellence in terms of service. No, they're wandering in the wilderness. There's nothing really to do. They're just moving camp and trying to survive and trying to get hopefully to the promised land one day. It was all to do with God and his goodness and his kindness. And as they simply trusted God, whether they maybe sometimes didn't do that as well as they should have done, God always provides. And I wonder today if we just need to get back to the simple truth of obedience and trust. And as we would trust them and be obedient to him, wow, get ready for the things he's going to put in your hand. We're not serving a king that needs to be relentlessly and religiously served. We are serving a king who anoints us to rise up and flow in grace. Wow. He's not asking us to do something that he's not helping us to do. He's not calling us to somewhere that he hasn't went to already. He's not asking us to do it alone. In fact, the Holy Spirit is upon us and he's upon you right now. He simply said, would you reject any other bread that's from the past and simply focus on me today? Come on, we're gonna pray. And I want to encourage you with a couple of things as we finish. Where are you in terms of your daily bread? You know, your daily focus with him. Not a works thing, but just a faith thing. What's your belief like in Jesus today? Come on, if you're feeling weary and worn out and broken, well, then we're going to give him that, because that's not what he's given us. He's given us a yoke that's easy and a burden that's light. I want us to really hit after this idea that may be hidden in your heart without you even realizing, is the idea of that I got what I needed a few years ago, and now I'm getting on with the stuff. I'm just getting on with it myself. Come on, I need God. I need his help today. I can't do it myself. I need his strength. And I ask the Lord to reveal to your heart if you're doing it through past, or you're just doing it yourself, or you're doing it because you feel like you can just get it done. Come on, we are a church that need Jesus to reign and rule. We're a church that need daily bread. He's the air in my lungs. He's my sustenance today. He's all that I need for today. Everything else will not even come close. It'll be like eating sand. We're going to get fresh bread and fresh meat every day from the presence of God. We've got Jesus. Far better. A conversation with him, sitting in his presence, sitting at his feet, worshiping him, hearing from his heart, listening to his voice. This is what we get to do every single day. Church, don't let it get stolen from you because you get busy, because you get distracted, because of anything else. Let's get focused back on the bread of life, because that's the life we need to live fully every single day. Come on, we're going to pray. Lord, I thank you today for your goodness. And I pray, Lord, you challenge every single one of our hearts. I pray, Lord, that you are for us and not against us. But Lord, I pray that if we're not for you, Jesus, that right now we would surrender and we'd say yes to you, Jesus. Lord, I pray that if we believe in our hearts and we call on the name of Jesus, then we will be saved. That's what Romans teaches us. Lord, I pray for anyone who needs to call their name, they would be saved today, tonight, wherever, whatever time they're watching. And Lord, I pray for those that have been walking with you. Lord, I pray that we're living off fresh bread, daily bread. Yesterday's bread is no good. Past experiences may be fun, but they will not help us today. Jesus is my way. He's the bread. He's the life. Lord, you are all that I want. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, come and touch your people. Holy Spirit, come and remind us that the past is the past. Today is where I'm living. And Jesus, you're the best gift. Holy Spirit, move in every one of our hearts. In your precious, glorious name, amen.